The Natural Hat Trick, hosted by Luke Lipinski and Craig Morgan.
Welcome into episode 263 of the Natural Hat Trick Podcast alongside Craig Morgan.
Is that really the number?
I mean, nobody can ever truly prove that it is.
I don't think they care, actually. So,
no, that's just for me. And alongside nobody else, I'm Luke Lipinski, but we do have a couple familiar names joining us on the show today, all the way from the Czech Republic, Radim Verbata and Martin Hansel.
Yeah, very excited to talk to them both, obviously. Well, Verby is now a friend of the show because this is the second time he has done the Natural Hat Trick Podcast, but great to have Marty in on the heels of his announcement of a retirement. We'll get to talk to them about a variety of topics. We'll go way beyond his retirement and even the Coyotes, so that'll be a fun interview.
Should we mention the technical difficulties we have at the beginning of this?
Well, I think you just did, so thank you.
Oh, whoops. Yeah, you have a great story up on Marty and his retirement on AZ Coyotes Insider, and I direct everybody there to read it. It's very good, very insightful.
Yeah, those technical difficulties were bizarre. There were, at one point, three of me on the Zoom call, and I don't know how that happened. It was four? Okay.
Yeah.
So I was cloned, and I could hear multiple voices speaking. It was bizarre.
it was terrifying.
One by one, I removed them all.
Yeah.
Which one was the real me. It took some time to zero in on the real me, and I eliminated the others.
It was like one of those horror movies where you end up in like the haunted house at the carnival that has like all the mirrors, and you're just like, oh, there's Craig. No, there's Craig. So at one point the screen was Verby, Marty, me, Craig, and Craig.
Yes, it was so weird. I have no idea why it happened. I've never seen that on Zoom before.
And can you, before we hit the interview here, can you explain to everybody again why you had to switch computers this week? And that's probably why we had the technical difficulties.
Yeah, I don't think I sort of alluded to it on Twitter, but I was working on my MacBook and I had a bowl of cereal in my hands, Cocoa Puffs, if you must know.
I must.
It's a weakness of mine, and my daughter has rekindled that weakness because she loves them too. And as I stood up to bring the bowl, which had no Cocoa Puffs left in it, by the way, just a little bit of milk.
Oh.
I didn't know my dog was under me in the table, and she freaked out, and I lost hold of the bowl, and some milk spilled on my keyboard, and my MacBook was dead.
Oh, that's it.
It's dead. It's not coming back. Oh. I am currently working on the computer that we just bought for my daughter, which she will inherit very shortly as soon as I get my new MacBook.
Quickly, before we get to the interview, have you ever tried mixing Cocoa Puffs with the Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs?
I have not.
Oh,
are you recommending
on.
This?
Yeah, I'm not just recommending it. I'm demanding it.
Yeah, you're just saying I'm an idiot for never trying it before.
Well, no, you're an idiot for pouring your milk on your laptop. But I'm saying
that
now, going forward, you should mix these two cereals. That's the way to do it.
Imagine delivering that news to your wife when she comes through the door. I need a new computer. Why? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's how it went down.
Funny story. Glad you asked.
Right.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's get to these guys. We are joined by two of the, I would say two of the fan favorites of the Arizona Coyotes / Phoenix Coyotes over the last decade or so. Radim Verbata, Martin Hansel, both on the line all the way from the Czech Republic. Gentlemen, first of all, thanks for taking the time to join us today. How you guys doing?
Hey guys, thanks for having us.
For sure.
Thanks for having us.
It's been kind of a crazy year. I think that's safe to say. Craig, I don't even know if you're still here. Are you here?
I'm still here.
Okay. Well, I guess let's just start with Verby. What have you been up to since the last time we saw you?
Well, I said it's like 4 years ago, right? So do we have enough time to go through it now?
Okay, how about what are you up to right now? How's that?
Well, right now we are in lockdown here in Czech because of COVID. So not much going on right now. Just trying to take care of kids and. Just wait this thing out and hope for better days, I guess.
Marty, you are freshly retired from the NHL. What's retired life like?
Lots of drinking. especially right now in the lockdown mode. There's nothing else I can do anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
How are you guys managing the kids right now?
That's tough. That's probably the worst thing that, you know, they can be in school, they have no hockey or any other, you know, things that they can do. So, you know, it's homeschooling, you know, this is the second wave, you know, we went through it in the spring, which was not that bad because the weather was good. You could be outside, you know, now it's a little different. So, no, not easy. And especially for kids, you know, because they can do their normal things.
Electronics as babysitters. How are you managing this when they're coming to you and demanding things all the time?
Yeah, we gave up on that. There's Xbox going on. There's Nintendo. Everything is on fire right now.
Marty, you were coaching your kid, right?
Yes, I was.
How's that going? Or how was it going, I guess?
It was fun. That was a... Well, he's still young. He turned 8 in January. So that was, I wouldn't call it coaching. I would say it's more teaching how to behave because they were all over the place. Didn't listen, didn't pay attention. But now it's getting a little bit better. And but again, we are in a lockdown mode. So they shut down the hockey right now. So we play PlayStation. That's it.
I got to pause for a minute here. People are not seeing what we're seeing right now. Marty, you got some kind of fish tank behind you right now.
Ah, it's my pets right there.
It's a shark tank.
It's a giant fish tank.
Yeah, I love fish. I love fish. I have a fish tank. I have a small lake behind my house. So I was always into fishing.
They're low maintenance pets.
Yeah. When you guys go back to the Czech Republic, I mean, after playing in the NHL, it's not like you guys are the only NHL players from the Czech Republic, but that's not, you know, that's got to be a big deal when you go back.
Maybe first couple of weeks or when you're still playing, but once you retire, you know, people get used to you, you know. Marty's coaching his kids, so he's at the ring. I'm coaching my oldest and I'm involved in my hometown team. So people get used to, and you know, I know those people for years, you know, so it's not that big of a deal. If somebody who's currently playing in the NHL, you know, like Pastrňák, if he shows up at our ring, I think that would be a big deal, but I think they're pretty used to me, in my town.
Well, I'm freshly retired, so I'm pretty much still a big deal here.
Big deal, yeah. Uh-huh.
Probably a couple more months, I'll be dead too.
Do you guys miss it at all? I mean, I've talked to some former players, and they're kind of like, there's some. Obviously, I think Shane Doan's still playing adult league hockey in Scottsdale, but then you talk to some guys, and they're like, no, I don't need to get back on the ice for a long time.
I don't miss the grind. Like, I don't miss the game and that pressure of being, you know, on top of your game every day. But I'm on the ice with my son every day, so I get that feel of ice, or I was getting that feel of ice pretty much every day. So that's good. And you know, I got asked here to play in those slower league games, you know, and beer leagues. Fun games. I always said no. I only said yes once to Marty, and after that experience, I'm glad I don't have to play anymore or anything.
All right, we gotta dive into this game now and how this all came about. First of all, Marty, what made you decide you wanted to start a team?
Yeah, it was probably a couple of my friends. They asked me if we want to do a beer league team, and I talked to my brother because I never played with my brother on the same team. So I was thinking it could be a good idea so parents could see us play together. And yeah, this is how it started.
Do you think these guys like being referred to as a beer league?
It is a beer league, literally. It's literally a beer league.
We are sponsored by Beer Company.
Oh, this is priceless. How did you rope these guys into coming down and playing a game with you?
I still can't believe they came. They played the game.
Me too.
I don't know. They must be like me. I don't know.
When you guys play in that league, like, do you have to? You can't go full speed, right? You're going to be skating circles around everybody. Like, I talked to Donor a few months ago, and he said he never steps into a shot because he's afraid he's going to hurt somebody. But somebody threw him a perfect pass on a one-timer, and he couldn't help it, and he just laid into it, and he felt bad for the rest of the game.
Well, I think we were going 100%. We had no choice, you know. The other team was, you know, those were 20-year-old kids, basically, and they had lots of energy. So for somebody who didn't play or didn't have equipment on for you know, 2-3 years, it wasn't an easy game.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a little bit some of the details of that game. Am I correct, Marty, you had a hat trick in this game?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I got to ask you, Verbi. I asked you guys this question. I think I asked you this question privately, Verbi. Was it legitimate, that hat trick, or were you guys just like spoon-feeding him like he was Vladimir Putin out there?
Well, there was a rule before the game that the first goal of that team the owner needs to score that goal, right? So we were sending him up for everything.
So he had like 50 shot attempts.
No, I think he just had 3 and he scored 3, so he's 100% in for that game. But it was fun. Like I said, you know, me personally, I didn't play for 2-3 years, you know. So first period, it was just trying to not get hurt. And once we settled in, and I think you could see that, you know, there were some former NHL players, I guess.
Yeah. Marty, how'd you feel out there? It hasn't been that long, obviously, since you played.
Yeah, I was going 100%. That's why I scored a hat trick. He was going probably 25. But no, I felt fine. You know, it was obviously I haven't played in such a long time, but it felt so good and so nice playing with Verbi, Rusty, and Bentzan Edorost. That was really fun. Like, I enjoyed it. My parents watched the game, so they enjoyed it too. And it was fun.
And you made this thing quite an event, right? You had like introductions for it. You had merchandise.
Yes, we did. It cost a lot of money, but it was on YouTube too, on the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And live with two commentators, everything. Yeah, it was a big deal here.
You guys don't mess around.
No. And we will have a TV show about it, or not TV show, but we have like a documentary about it. So, yes, you know, if we will be able to get it done, and we will get those, you know, English subtitles, we will send it to you to check it out.
Yeah, we have to check that. It sounds like Hard Knocks over here in the U.S. or 24/7 on HBO.
Right,
it's like a classic.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go back to when you guys were playing together on the Coyotes. And I, you know, the first thing I think a lot of people think is that 2012 run to the Western Conference Finals, and Coyotes made the playoffs this year for the first time since then. So that's still the top of the mountain for Coyotes fans. I mean, what stands out to you guys about that? I know that wasn't the only year in your career, but for Coyotes fans, that's a huge year. What stands out about 2012?
I would say it was also the biggest, or best year in our careers. You know, I think this one and for me, for myself, that one in Vancouver, I think those 2 years were the highlights. This particular year, I think, you know, like those 2 years before, you know, it seems like it was us against everything and everybody, you know, and it seems like we were able to kind of block everything out on the outside and then focus on hockey, and big credit has to go to, you know, to Don and Tip and Donor, you know, and all the players in that locker room. And it just seems like it clicked. And once we got to the playoffs, you know, Smitty got hot, and we just ride with it.
Marty, what are your favorite memories from 2012?
Yeah, as Verbi said, we were... I believe we won that Pacific Division too. We were doing really, really, really strong in a regular season, and there was a lot of games we won 1-0 or 2-1 because Smitty was really hot, as Verbi said. And I think that year was so much fun. We we play as a team, and we stay strong, we stay together the whole year. And in the playoff, there was just one step behind. So,
walk us through the goal in game one against the Blackhawks.
Well, I won the face-off, obviously. Let's start with that. And I went in front of net, and I remember
obviously.
I wasn't even obviously again, and I wasn't even right in front of the goalie, because I remember my kids asking me about the goal, like, you're teaching us something, you have to stay right in front of the goalie so he can't see, but you are staying a little bit aside. I said, well, yeah, sometimes that happens in games. And yeah, I just put my stick down, and I remember Oki shot it, and I couldn't even see the puck. He just hit my stick, and I was lucky it went in.
You mentioned Oki, Adrian Acoin. I mean, the year where he got set loose in the shootouts, and every time he walked up, he didn't have a move. He just fired the puck as hard as he could. Was he still using a wooden stick at that point too? Like, what were you guys thinking on the bench?
I think he's still using a wooden stick now, even if he's playing somewhere with his kids.
Yeah, what a legend. Like, I think we were playing cards after one of those games when he scored. He's like, I don't even know why Tip sends me. Like, I always close my eyes and shoot it.
No, it kept working.
Yeah, speaking of that, somebody asked in our questions about the patented move that you had, Verbi, in the shootout. Were you surprised, I guess, that it just kept working? I mean, people had to know what was coming, and yet you could just go to that backhander and score the goal.
I think it just became mind game. You know, they knew what I was going to do. I knew that they know. And there was just a question if they think I will change it up or if I will stick with it, you know. And I always said that if you do that move right and you do everything the right way, it usually will work, you know. I think towards the end of my career, I saw those guys cheating so much that I had to change it and go to forehand a couple times, you know, and I think that threw them off even more, you know, because there was that different option for me. And but yeah, it worked, so I just kept using it.
I want to come back to the playoffs in just a minute, but you guys both told me that you were roommates. yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. So I asked Verbi this question, Marty. I said, if he had to compare your snoring to an animal, which animal would it be?
Snail?
Verbi, any thoughts? I mean, you were there many sleepless nights.
Exactly. I don't know how different animals snore, but it wasn't working. And I was so happy when I finally hit those 600 games and got my own room and got some sleep finally. Just imagine how well I would play if I could sleep for those years with Marty.
Was that the deal? 600 games and you get your own room? I didn't know that.
That was the rule. But then I think after that lockout 12-13, I think they gave it to everybody except rookies, you know. So I think I hit that the year before with like 10-15 games left. I was so happy. I was like, finally, I got my own room. And then, sure enough, next season, everybody had it. I'm like, oh, man.
All right, let's flip this around, Marty, because we haven't asked this question. What kind of roommate was Verbi?
He was good. He was good. He was always watching his movies on his laptop, and everything was in the right place. I had mess everywhere. No, he was good. He was good to me.
You guys are like the perfect odd couple on the road. I mean, oh, it was, personality. Yeah,
I had my OCD, so everything had to be at the right place. Marty was all over the place, so it was like black and white.
What's some of those teams that you guys played on had a lot of personality, with Keith Yandle and Briz. I mean, Paul Bissonnette. I mean, there's a lot of personalities. You look back on those teams more so than maybe most NHL teams. Who were some of the craziest guys that you guys played with in the NHL?
I know for sure. Rafi Torres.
Okay.
Good answer.
But we need a follow-up to that. Can you tell us why?
Well, he was just cannonballed. Like, you know, on the ice. Yeah. On the ice, he was just all over the place. In the locker room, he was always making jokes. And he was just such a fun guy to have around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about Rafi. Verby, you have anybody else on that list?
Yeah, you just you name few. You know, Briz, obviously, Jens, Oki was fun guy. Like Oki was really funny in the dressing room, or all those, you know, rookie dinners we had. Oki was a key guy there, I think. Well, Switz was funny, you know, when he was there those 2 years. Biz, obviously.
He was the dumbest one for sure.
We'll definitely let him know.
Yeah, we'll save that clip for Spittin' Chicklets.
Yeah, or for the first game next year.
So we obviously interviewed you guys a lot, and it's funny you mentioned those two guys, because Brizzy, we never knew what was going to come out of his mouth when we were interviewing him. And then with Rafi, I think a lot of reporters were actually just scared to talk to him because he had that look in his eye where you never knew what he might do to you. But what about the other way around? I think Luke built this question. Was there ever a question you got sick of us asking you? Did you ever get sick of answering the same question?
I'll probably start. There was, how come you can't play 82 games in a regular season? Yeah. That's for me. I was always hurt and started with my back. So it was probably this question, but I never said anything because it was part of my job.
Verby?
I didn't have anything. I didn't care. If you ask, I tried to answer you, you know, and I don't think there was anything that would bother me too much. No, I don't think so.
How tough is that, Marty? Because I've always sort of wondered that, and we've seen it, I think, with Oliver the last couple of years. Like, you know a guy's hurt. You know that he doesn't want to say anything because, like you said, it's part of his job, but you have to keep answering questions. If you go on social media, people are like, hey, why can't you get out there? It's like, especially if it's your back, man. Like, if it's hurt, it's hurt. What are you supposed to do?
There is nothing you can do, to be honest. Like, they sign a contract with you. They expect you to play a lot of games. And if you're hurt, there's nothing you can do, you know? So it's hard, but it was part of my game because the way I played physical games. So those injuries showed up in my body.
Yeah. You talked a lot about it in the story that I wrote last Sunday, but I'm curious. I asked you this question earlier. Were there times where you probably shouldn't have been out there that you still went out and played?
Every back-to-back games, probably. Second game.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't remember specific one game that I would say after the game, oh, I was so bad I couldn't play because of my back. I can't remember one single game, but the worst problem for me was after the next day. Like, I was hurting probably for 2-3 days. That was the worst. I felt fine during the games because I usually take some shots or some pills for the pain. But the next couple of days, that was the worst feeling.
You guys, I saw this in Craig's story too, Marty. You had talked about, and obviously, Verby, you played for Tip as well. Just, you know, what makes Dave Tippett such an effective coach? Because he's having success now with the Oilers too. And I know some of that is Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But what about his coaching style appeals to players?
I think with Tip, and I said that before that last season in NHL, I said to people here in Czech, I say, watch out for Edmonton. You know, not because McDavid and Draisaitl, but because Tip is coming in and he will put them in a situation where they will have their best careers, you know, or best seasons in their careers. And I think it showed. You know, Draisaitl won the MVP, and McDavid was McDavid. I think he just knows how to use everybody on that team and use them the right way. You know, he gives them roles and they can thrive in it. You know, it's not like he's asking somebody who's a skilled guy to be a hitter or you know, he's not asking a hitter to be a goal scorer. You know, so really respect how he handles, you know, players and the whole group in the dressing room, and for us how that first year how he was able to come in and in like 7-10 days to put the system in place and just you know, for us to have that first season, when you think about it, was when he came in, it was pretty incredible.
Was that first season is still the I think that first team is still a record for points in Coyotes franchise history, right?
And when you think about it, he literally got there like a week before the season started, you know, with no training camp. He had a week or 10 days and we were ready to go. And I remember, I think the first game we won in LA, then we went to Pittsburgh. We won the game there and we just took off. And I love playing for him.
Marty, you had to play a different style for Tip. Do you have an equal amount of love, given the fact that he threw you in front of the net and asked you to take punishment for your entire career?
Well, yeah. Well, I had maybe a little bit different role under Wayne, but you know, I think I said it before. He asked me to play this role to shut down all the centermen, all the first liners, and go in front of the net, but I think if I would say I don't want to play this role, maybe he would go somewhere else or ask somebody else, and maybe he would take my spot. You know, so I kind of adapt to that game, and I made an NHL career on that. So I'm fine with that.
Who were the toughest guys you ended up playing against? I mean, you know, I'm sure Crosby and some of those, you know, whoever, Ovechkin, obviously. But are there specific guys that you lined up against? And you're like, man, I know this is gonna be a long night.
Back then, I would say Pavel Datsyuk. He was just from different world. I was always trying to make a move on him, and it was just embarrassing. And it was amazing because if you ask me now, I would say probably McDavid, because now it's all about the speed. But back then, Pavel wasn't that fast, but he was just so skilled and so smart that he just made you look funny. You know, that was probably one of the toughest guys to play against.
I want to ask you guys a little bit about just life now after hockey. But before we do this, by the way, I pointed out your background, Marty. I don't know if you guys have noticed where Luke is right now. He's basically in a closet.
He's in a closet, podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but Marty's is like, Marty's got the fish tank, but he's got like flashing lights and stuff. He's definitely having more fun than any of us are. We have fairly normal backgrounds, except, yes.
I can't say yours is normal. I don't find it normal to be sitting in a closet doing a podcast. And this is every week, by the way.
Well, you're sitting in front of a picture. It's a picture you painted?
It's a Picasso, Luke.
Oh, okay. So, okay. No. All right.
How often do you guys get together now that you're – I know you don't live that close to one another, but how often do you see each other?
I think we saw – so this summer we saw each other quite a bit, I think. Me and my family, we went down there for like a vacation in – I think July it was. Mm-hmm. So we saw each other there. Then there was that game. Then we saw each other for dinner that we always get to with the other guys that played in Phoenix. So yeah, we saw each other quite a bit, I think.
Are those dinners always at that chateau?
No, it was this year. We usually pick a restaurant either in Prague or somewhere else and always get together like that. Yeah.
That's a pretty sweet place.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, it's close to my town, so it was a good choice.
What's as far as if somebody, whenever we can start traveling again, somebody visits the Czech Republic? Craig, have you been there? I haven't been there.
No, I have not.
Okay, so you
didn't come for that trip when we started the season here against Boston?
I didn't actually. I wasn't on that trip.
Wow,
my cheap outlet would not pay for it.
You missed out.
I know. I have heard the stories.
Yes.
It sounds like I missed out on a lot. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you did.
You're not going to share any of those stories, Verby?
No.
Okay.
Probably good move.
Believe that. Right, so back to Luke's. Well, what was that?
Don't share any stories. My wife is somewhere around here.
It is what do we to need be to like see? The best place in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Aside from Prague, which we all know we need to see at some point, I will make it to Prague. What else do we need to see in the Czech Republic?
definitely my hometown or the town I'm living in right now. That's where Verbi comes for vacation.
The town you're living in right now, you're not in your lake house right now. You're in your actual house right now.
Yeah, this is my home. This is my house. No, but definitely what you need to see is probably we have one of the best beer in the world. So probably the brewery here. That's pretty cool.
Is that the beer that's sponsoring your team?
It's a different one, but it's still in my hometown.
What's that about? It's creating some controversy here. So the brewery there is good. What's the name of this brewery?
Budějovický Budvar, Budweiser, but it's not the same one like in US. It's just the name.
Okay. What else? What else in the Czech Republic? What do we need to do?
That's it.
That's it.
Go to Prague, see Marty's hometown, and then we're out. Okay.
What a sales job, but
and see the documentary on the hockey team. We need to see that too.
Well, that's all you need. Yeah, all you need to know about Czech.
What about cuisine? What do we eat when we come to the Czech Republic?
Lots of greasy foods, fried cheese.
If you want to eat healthy, you don't need anything here, I guess. No, we have those dumplings, you know, with all kinds of sauces and I don't know, ducks and
so.
Yeah, what else?
Greasy, you guys would never be hired by the Chamber of Commerce.
No, I don't think so.
Never bring you on board. No.
we are not selling it right, I guess.
Bertie, tell us about
keep all of us out of there.
Yeah. Well, right now, I think that's a good thing. Yeah. Nobody come here. We are number one in COVID right now.
Oh, give us a little time. We'll catch you.
Yeah, we'll catch you. Don't worry. All right, we have a few listener questions here, but before we get into those, I know Craig had this on the list too. I mean, I don't remember ever asking you guys or ever hearing why you got into hockey. I mean, I know it's big in the Czech Republic, but is it something that your parents steered you towards, or did you just kind of always know as a kid, like, that's what I want to do? Cause you got to know pretty early to make it to the NHL.
Well, it was different times, you know, like when we talked earlier about kids have, you know, all kinds of stuff right now to be busy with, you know, they have laptop, they have iPads, games, everything, you know, we didn't have that. So it was for us, it was school or to be outside playing hockey in the winter, soccer, tennis in the summer. For me, it was between hockey and soccer, and just stick with hockey, and I guess made the right choice. But back then, you know, there was not much else. You know, you were always outside playing something, and back then it was maybe also, and probably for the older players too, just to have better life, to have a career, you know, outside of Czech, because back then when I was a kid, we were still communist country, and that was a way to have a better life, I guess.
How about you, Marty?
Yeah, it was same thing. I play hockey and soccer. I knew right away I was terrible in soccer, so I knew I was gonna be playing hockey because I was too tall and too slow, couldn't run. But my parents brought me to hockey because my older brother played, so I was just following him.
Hmm. Greg, do you have anything else?
I wanted to ask Verbi one other thing. Verbi's got this budding film career right now, and I wanted to ask him a little bit about how that's going and where it's going.
Yeah, that's a little project there that we started it 4 years ago, you know, so we have this company that, you know, we do stories similar to the Players Tribune, you know, we have books, you know, we have kid books, we do documentaries, you know, so it's getting noticed here, it's getting bigger and bigger, so you know, hopefully keeps going.
What's the next project, Marty Hansel?
Well, his retirement game is a project right now. We are working on it literally. Like I got the footage last week, so guys are working on it. We have this. We are following this soccer team here in Czech. In the spring, we came out with that Factory on Ice that you can check out on iTunes.
Right.
So that's about Litvinov. It's a hockey team here in Czech that produced most European players out of one city. So we were following them last year. So that's something to check out. But yeah, there's more and more that we are doing. So like I said, hopefully, you know, it keeps growing.
Hmm. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, we got some listener questions. I think Luke will rattle these off. We won't read too many of them. I think we've covered some of the material already, but let's fire through them.
Yeah, I'll go through just a couple of them. Rose asked one that I've seen a few people ask. What do you guys miss most about Arizona? I mean, it's very different from where you are right now, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Aside from us, which goes without saying.
Yeah, that's it.
The weather, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Were you guys both good golfers, or did you both golf? I mean, you basically have to if you play in the NHL, right?
Or you have kids. That's either or. And if you're playing in NHL, you have kids, you're a golfer. the weather and just everything. You know, we both lived in Scottsdale, so it's like I think one of the best spots in US. You know, and it's like a living in a bubble, you know, everything is nice, everything is so neat, and so I miss Arizona.
Brandon asked, this is for you, Verby, but he essentially said, well, you always seem to play your best in your various times with the Coyotes. What was it about that team or that environment that allowed you to perform at such a high level?
I don't know. Just the right spot for me, I guess. Ever since I came there, that first year under Wayne, it was like for the first time somebody just kind of let me play my game, you know, and it was the same there with Tip, you know. So just everything, the surroundings, the people, everything just seemed to click.
Did your line mates have any impact? Just asking.
Oh, well, those because
yeah,
of
it was
me.
Great when Wits came that that 1 year, it really helped.
You're welcome.
I said so many nice things in your article about Marty.
You
can
did.
Hear it again.
Did you see what he said about you? How he compared his son to you. You saw that?
Yeah, I saw
that. Stand in one place and wait for someone to give you the puck. I mean, look at Verby. He made a great career out of it. He never had a hit in his entire career.
That's why I'm not going there today to be, you know, pumping his tires again. I did that once and that's it. Seriously, like you need good linemen, especially for the way I was playing, you know. And I played with Marty, I don't know, 90% of time when I was in Phoenix. So he was a big part of it. And every time we get the third guy who could complement us and bring something extra, that was great.
Yeah, we did have a couple people write in asking what it was about the two of you on the line together that worked so well, because it is obviously different styles of hockey. And sometimes you put two different styles together like that and it doesn't work at all. But you guys, it was pretty quick, right? I mean, you guys, the first few games you started playing together, it seemed to click.
I think for me, he was a perfect centerman. He was big. He was able to get you pucks. You know, he was. So I think kind of complements those both styles, where I was doing something he couldn't, and he was doing something that I couldn't, and we kind of make it work. You know, and like I said, when you had that third guy in there, we went even higher. You know, so.
Marty, did it ever bug you that, you know, you had to do a lot of the dirty work and maybe not get as many of the accolades or the points as Verby or Wits had that season?
No, it was okay. Like, maybe it was a little bit bugs me, but, you know, with my style, it was almost impossible to get points like they did because I had a different role, and for me to was make a room for them and give them the puck, you know, and kind of be the physical player in that line, that defensive center. And so I did my job, and I'm fine with that.
I would say this is the last one here from Adam. He just wondered if you guys had any specific significance to the numbers you chose, or if that's just sort of the way it broke when you got to the NHL that you were 17, 11.
I when I was growing up here in Czech and even playing juniors in Canada, I always had 19. But when I went to Colorado, there was no way that I was getting 19 there. So first they gave me 12. Then Mike Keane came, just gladly gave him 12 because it, you know, had no meaning to me, and they gave me 17. So then I bounced around other teams. You know, I had 19 in Carolina, 16 in Chicago. Then I got to Phoenix, and they gave me 17. So I just stick with that. I think it's a good number. So just stick with it.
Yeah, there was no way you were getting 19 in Arizona either. So.
Yeah, true.
Marty, how about you with 11?
I started wearing that because when I was younger, I always wear 66. I don't know why, but... And when I went to men's team here, I started wearing 11 because we celebrate the name days here, and it's on 11-11, November 11. That's why I wear this number.
All right, that's most. I mean, most of the other listener questions we already asked some version of. Craig, do you have anything else, or do we want to?
No, I just wanted to say thanks for this, guys. I know it's starting to get late there in the Czech Republic too, so I appreciate you guys doing this.
Yeah, thanks, guys. This was cool from all the way across the world.
Yeah, no problem.
It is always great catching up with you guys. And well, Verby, you've been in it 4 years now, but Marty, good luck in retirement. And again, just thanks for taking the time. Always taking the time to talk to us. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. Thanks for having us. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye.